Hello and welcome. You're listening to Writers Aloud, a podcast brought to you by writers for the Royal Literary Fund in London. Hello and welcome to episode 87 of Writers Aloud. In this episode, novelist Jonathan Tulloch shares his audio diary, featuring a cast of characters including a wasp, a sausage roll or four, and St. Peter in the guise of a benign tobacconist. How will the story end?
And welcome to Teat the Four with me, Robbie Shepherd. There's some great jugs and reels tonight. Actually, it's just me, Jonathan Tulloch. Monday night, had a good day's work except for the wasp. It's just woken up again. When I was working this morning, I heard a tap at the window. I looked up and it was a wasp. Through the open window, it fell in like a drunken burglar, and it's been here all day. Get off! It's actually quite off-putting. Largely because it makes me think of Bob, who lives about three houses down, and he's always saying things to me like,
"Now listen, Jonathan, you're a nature writer, right? So tell us, what use are wasps?"
He's got lots of questions like that. His other favourite topic is,
"Jonathan, you're a nature writer, right? So tell us, why are there so many sparrowhawks killing everything? There's gotta be a kill."
Everything he says is, you know, about killing things. I think he must have been a gamekeeper. Nice in other ways, but, oh God, this wasp, it's really beginning to annoy me. Maybe I should kill it. When I was a kid growing up, there was a lad who used to kill wasps just by clapping his hands. This one's so near now that I could just do the same, but people are always saying to me, like Bob,
"What use are wasps?"
But then, what use are writers? It's the same question. Hello, South Cleveland Garages, how can I help you? And it's Tuesday in Jonathan Tulloch's audio diary. I'm glad to report that the wasp is still alive. I haven't killed it yet, and I'm in a good mood because it's Tuesday's the day I do one of my nature columns. It's a perfect excuse to go out onto my bike. So, apart from a near-death experience on White Horse Bank, I mean, those fucking four-wheel drives are like panzer tanks. I'm pretty upbeat. Is this called endorphins? Anyway, so with the weather still good, I get one of the perks of the trade. The writers might be paupers, but at least we can choose our office space. So I decided to go and work on the bench on the river road at High Kilburn, which is in the middle of nowhere. It's fantastic. I didn't do any work, but it was lovely just being there. Biking home from the office, it was fantastic. Actually, I felt like a wasp. Not a wasp close to the end, like the one that's just stirring now in this room, but a wasp in June, in full flight, with the world opening up for me, and my jello yellow jacket brand new, causing a stir throughout the world and a sting reserved for speeding SUV drivers. So, yeah, it was great being on the bike, toe-to-toe haul, poop. I tore through a confetti of autumn leaves, past cattle at the gate, caught glimpses of the wild geese that have been at Boltby for a few days. I wonder if they'll be there tomorrow. Might go and have a look. The geese made me think of my dad. He always used to say geese were a sign of winter.
"Bugger off!"
That wasp. Hello, Fox's Gourmet Sandwich Bar. How may I help you this fine day? As I never used to say when I worked at a sandwich bar in Moorgate, London, where the banks are. You were supposed to say, "How may I help you?" I just couldn't do that. So I always ended up, like, just lifting my head, you know, like, which in Carlisle, where I grew up, is like the equivalent of asking for a fight. Huh? It's been a horrible day today, simply ghastly. It's raining, still is. I'm recording this, maybe you can hear the rain against the window. Oh, listen to the rain beat on my window pane in my little cabin home on the hills. It's a really horrible day, so I've devoted it to my extended prose project. The real writer's news is that the wasp isn't dead. I must admit, I did try to kill it yesterday when you heard the clap, but I couldn't manage it, or did I manage it, and the wasp has actually been resurrected? Where it is now, I know not. I did check the desk before I sat down to record this, because you can often get stung at this time of year if you're not careful about wasps. So, is it just under there? Nope. So, I know not where it is. Has it ascended to heaven or been assumed? Is it Jesus or is it Mary? Anyway, work didn't go that well, I must admit, today, on my extended prose project. How much did you write today? An acquaintance once asked James Joyce. Oh, sure, I had a good day today, said James Joyce. Sure, I wrote a whole sentence. Except James Joyce wasn't from the west coast of Ireland, or Scotland. Anyway, yeah, so if James Joyce took a day to write a sentence, I don't feel so bad taking a week. What's being a writer like, I hear you say? Boring, eh? And without tax credits, impossible. Actually, I did for a few minutes try writing a short story. I dug one up from the past, which I did and was quite pleased about. It starts with the first line of, "One day, everybody in the world was turned into a dog." But actually, thinking about that, you know, it should be, "One day, everybody in the world was turned into a wasp." How would that story end, eh? Not so well. Hello, and welcome to tonight's fixture of Carlisle United versus Wrexham in the 17th and a half round of the Arto Glass Windscreen Trophy. Oh, those were the days. This is Thursday night's dispatch. When I was working today, I'll tell you about it in a minute, but I just started thinking about the football matches I used to go to Carlisle, and there was one bloke, he had long hair but was bald, you know, like long bald bits, but totally long hair but bald at the top. And he used to walk past all the fans selling newspapers, and they'd always sing, "There's only one baldy long hair, one baldy long hair, there's only one baldy long hair." And he used to lift a hand and they'd cheer him. He was like a hero. Nowadays, I too am a baldy long hair. Or would be, if my wife hadn't bought a do-it-yourself barber's kit from Argos. I've just had a haircut. That's what I'm talking about. That. So today was my RLF trip to Borough. My office day, where I help students to write better. As if I could ever do that, eh? I must admit, I love Borough. But I've got a rule. It's called the Borough Rule. Within 5 minutes of getting off the train, someone's always talked to me. Now, usually that's good. You know, an old lady or someone like saying something nice, but not today. The two heroin addicts pulled me into an altercation just by the railway station. They were harmlessly arguing in the middle of the street and sort of like about to punch each other. One of them was much bigger than the other, and he was going, "Come on then, let's have it out now, man to man. Toe to toe, ah to ah." And the other one was small, weaker. Obviously, he was going to be beaten. And it was because of that I hid around the corner and shouted, "The police are coming!" So having done that, I was obviously a bit frightened that I'd be implicated. So I went to plunged into Greggs. But you can get into Greggs, but unless you're an employee, you can't get out. So I was in the queue in Greggs and the two fighters came in. You know, best of friends now. I looked at them, you know, and one of them, you know, the small one, who's had a sort of like holy fool type face, you know, like from Russian 19th century literature, you know. And I pretended that I was like looking for kind of like a different kind of sandwich, and he went up and bought his sausage roll, and the woman said to him, do you want three for the price of one? And he just said, no, one's enough. I just thought, that says it all. Yeah, one's enough. So when it was my turn, I got a sausage roll. When she asked me if I wanted three, I said, one's enough. Which is stupid, because I'm fatter than he is and feel hunger quicker. So I had to go back to another bakery like 10 minutes later, Thomas's of York. Anyway, so I had a pupil student who's a much better writer than me, and she's going to be a nurse, maybe my nurse one day, because when everyone dies in my village, they always end up in the James Cook in Middlesbrough. Anyway, it was a great day. Love it. Love the students. And I was just sitting. It was quite sunny, actually. I was just sitting having that third sausage roll or fourth or whatever it was. And can you believe it? A hummingbird hawk moth flew by. You know, these are little moths that look like hummingbirds, and they're planted, they've got these like green areas, and this moth was flying there, and I just thought, yes, it's true, just like Dr. Pangloss says, this is the best of all possible worlds. Yeah. A hummingbird hawk moth in Middlesbrough. So when I went home on the train, I was having to look at a stage version of my first novel, which is getting put on next autumn. I'm not inventing that, by the way, or just, you know, pretending about it to make me look good. But so I was looking at that, and when I got home, I'd written a poem, because the moth had made me think about the wasp. I was quite excited to see if the wasp had come back. Or, anyway, I couldn't find the wasp, so I wrote this for the wasp. O wasp, that wast, at what cost are you lost? Like Lear, are you more accosted than accost? Wasp. Hello, call out 29038. Who is it, please? Mummy is indisposed currently. May I take your number and ask her to call you back when she gets out? As we were supposed to say when we answered the phone in the olden days. It's Friday, 10 o'clock. I'm quite tired, actually, because today I have done nothing. Well, today was the day for another one of my nature columns, the Times. Yes, not making that up either. So as I sat by the garden pond all morning and fell asleep, I actually, you know, it was warm, the zephyrs were blowing, and I fell asleep. And when I woke up, you know, the sunlight caught on the surface of our little garden pond. I just thought, when I die, this is what I hope to see, you know, as the soil is cleared from my eyes, gouged out of my mouth and nostrils, and as a friendly hand disinters me, I want to see the sun glinting on fresh water. Yeah, and that's the gates of heaven. And there's here the sound of them opening, obviously, because I want them to be open for me. And the sound of them opening will be the slight crackle that a dragonfly makes as it flies by. And then, just to extend the metaphor, if you don't mind, so not too boring, St. Peter will be there, dressed in the garb of a simple tobacconist, and he'll say to me, "Here, Jonathan, have a cigarette. They're good for you up here, you know, especially sweet afternoon tipped. And here's another little piece of bonus tipping. Wasps don't sting in heaven, but hold discourse on philosophy and such." Well, I haven't actually seen the wasp today, but I did see a dragonfly. It was a common darter. Its body was a red spindle. Its double wings, tinted with sun shards, were a stained glass window, as I wrote in the Times. It was lovely. You know, when you see a dragonfly, they've been unchanged really for 300 million years. So you can't have an ordinary encounter with a dragonfly, but when you see one, you're pitched back into a Jurassic swamp. So I stayed in the Jurassic swamp for as long as I could watching the dragonfly. Oh, look, I've got a confession to make, right? It's about the wasp. I've actually sort of got it under what you might call lock and key. A glass and a piece of paper here. I'm going to hold it up against the microphone and see if you can hear it buzzing. Just got to keep this on because I don't want to get up. Actually, you know, that was me pretending to buzz. Now, the wasps say fish, but look, it was either that or put it into the cold, dark night because it seems indestructible. I'm sitting here doing this and it's actually hiding under the blanket, which I've used as a prop underneath this like recorder because, you know, that's what we're told to do. But I think I'll keep it as a prisoner and then hopefully it'll have died of natural causes in the morning because it's beginning to, you know, it's beginning to impinge a bit too much, this wasp. Anyway, so a good day, you know, another nature column. That's fantastic. See you tomorrow. Stabat mata dolarosa. Hello, and welcome to the Saturday's edition of the Bulletin. Today was an absolutely perfect day. Didn't do anything except go for the best walk I've ever had in my life. But I went with my wife and son, Aidan, but before we got there, there was a tangle with an armed person. I was getting into the car and I saw a figure come towards me with a shotgun, and it was he was dressed like a gamekeeper, and then I saw who it was, and he said to me, "Yo, you're an itcher, right, Jonathan? So now we can't hunt foxes, can't gas them, can't trap them. How are we supposed to eliminate them and exterminate them?" At this, I like lost my head and just said, "A badger's been seen at Kilburn." It was a lie, but, you know, he sped off and took his shotgun with him. So, leaving Bob to his ways, we went up to the woods just beyond Boltby in Yorkshire, Scandinavia, as they call it. It was a perfect day. Autumn, the last leaves were falling. My wife and son, we were walking. A buzzard was mewling in the air, the willow pattern sky. I let them walk on for a while and I stopped and I looked at them when they were waiting for me. They were standing by some birch trees, white birch trees beside a spring. And as I walked over, I just thought, this is my whole world here, held in my eyes, this beautiful sight. And it was very touching and moving. So also, I have to confess that the wasp is dead, definitely this time. In fact, it's lying now on a tomb of a Penguin edition of Sophocles' plays. So that's as far as it got. But a great day for me, if not so good for the wasp. The lovely Saturday. Goodbye. Hello and welcome to Mass. It's the third Sunday of the year. You're all very welcome. Today, like all bad Catholics, I went to Mass, it being Sunday. I play in the group there. And the reading was from the book of St. James. And the message was simple. If you've got cash, start weeping, because you're going to be in trouble. Actually, you know, the book of St. James is not in the Protestant Bible, which is a bit odd. But I'm not a bigot, because actually I am a Protestant, as well as being a Catholic. I was baptised first as a Presbyterian, then as a Catholic, then for a third time as a Presbyterian and fourth time as a Catholic. It was a sort of a tug of war within the family. But anyway, it's just an observation. As I was sitting in Mass, not listening to a word the priest was saying, I began to think, why am I a writer? And I thought back to when I was a child, and one day I went for a walk and saw a fox. I don't think I'd ever seen anything so beautiful. The lovely pelt, the whiskers, the ears bristling. And the thing was, it was an encounter. The fox didn't move, and I didn't move either. And suddenly I thought, this fox is going to talk to me. If I just wait long enough, it'll speak. And I think that's why I'm a writer, because I still think foxes will speak to me. And wasps too, actually. And also as a writer, I can't see the difference between a wasp, a fox, or a person. Happily, the wasp story is fantastic, because I've just realised that the wasp isn't dead, but it's hibernating. All this week, it's just been looking for somewhere to lay its heart until it can begin life again in the spring. So, the wasp's asleep on Sophocles, not dead, and I'm going to now go away and have a practice for my Cayley band, Heard on the Hill, which you can access and book through Heard on the Hill Facebook. Please do, because you can see how hard it is being a writer and how much more fun it is playing jigs and reels. Anyway, I've had a great time talking to everybody, all three of my listeners, and that's if I listen twice. And now I'll say adieu. Or as Elvis said after his last concert in 1977, until we meet again, may God bless you. Adios. Do 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 do. Wise men say, only fools rush in. And we'll play out now with a Heard on the Hill tune, as you've heard all week. Goodbye.
That was Jonathan Tulloch. You can find out more about Jonathan on the RLF website. The music featured in his audio diary came from Jonathan's very own Cayley band, Heard on the Hill. And that concludes episode 87, which was recorded by Jonathan Tulloch and produced by Kona McPhee. Coming up in episode 88, the non-fiction writer James McConaughey speaks with Julia Copus about the plight of non-fiction books in an internet age, his travel writing adventures, and the joy of writing about sex. We hope you'll join us. You've been listening to Writers Aloud, a podcast brought to you by writers for the Royal Literary Fund in London. To subscribe to podcasts and to find out more about the work of the RLF, please visit our website at www.rlf.org.uk. Thanks for listening.